This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And when we come to our finances, we want to think of new ways to, I guess, make sure we're behaving ourselves with our money, and getting sassy could be one of those ways. I'm joined by Julia Newbold, Money Magazine's managing editor. Julia, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
So how do we get sassy with our finances?
So the idea of sassy is it stands for spending, assets and liabilities, structure, set rules and yearly review. And so a couple of years ago, financial advisor Kate McCallum and I wrote a book called The Joy of Money. And in it, we looked at ways that you can set up your finances to do the best that you can and to sort of have some sort of routine in place. So the whole idea is, you know, when it comes to being more sassy, look at your spending, assess your current spending, because if you don't know what you're spending, you can't control it. So, you know, it's about maximising income, knowing where your money is going, spending less, limiting wastage, and identifying any substitutes that you can to save money. And some of them are just, you know, ways to entertain yourself that might be a little less costly, or, you know, things that you might be able to put in your takeaways, maybe two nights instead of three nights and things like that. So the first one is spending. And one of the things that we suggested in the book, and this can be difficult depending on where you live, but try and put, say, 50% on your essentials. So that's your rent, your bills, your car, et cetera, 30% on nice to have, and 20% on savings. But if obviously you can't live on that 50%, then take some out of the nice to have. And, you know, if your circumstances change, then you can swap it back.
So I guess it comes down to really categorising how you view each and everything you spend your money on.
That's right. And then you create your cash flow plan from that. And, you know, one of the tips that we say is always pay yourself first when it comes to saving, so that you're not trying to rely on what you have left over, because once you've got that money in your, you know, spending account or in your wallet or whatever, it's much easier to spend. And then we say if you look at your assets and liabilities and get your net position on that, and then you figure out what you need to get to from what you have, then you can work on a plan of how you can manage things to maybe manipulate your spending and your income to get where you need to get. And then we talk about structure, because we think that that's really important to know where your money is going and to have it automated where possible, so that, you know, when we say pay yourself first, as soon as you get paid, if you sort of whisk off 10% and put it in some sort of savings account before you see it, that's a really good way of ensuring that it will stay saved. And then one of the other things we say that is, if you look at your savings, you can split your savings into the buckets and have one for your unexpected expenses, your short-term things, another savings account for fun, so that might be a holiday or renovating or getting a pool or whatever you might be thinking of. And the third one is the future you. And so that would be your superannuation and any investments that you have to potentially help you later in life. And we've suggested, but, you know, it's up to you, putting 20% in your short-term, 30% in your medium-term fund account, and 50% of your savings into your longer-term account.
So when you say, oh, sorry, I was just going to say, when we're talking about automating our, where our money goes, is that sort of like just setting up a plan for, I guess, the next financial year and set and forget?
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, finally we say you've got to have a yearly review, and that would be what you do. You set the rules and then see what would happen at the end of the year. And so at the beginning of the year is a good time to start, you know, thinking about the whole process.
And I guess when you are setting up a plan for yourself and I guess a structure for the year, it's easier to compare to the year before to see how much you actually saved and how useful this method was for you.
Yeah, that's right. And if something unexpected did happen and it took all the savings that you had in that account, you need to rebuild. But if you manage to get what you think you need for your unexpected account, maybe then you can think of other ways of using that money. Maybe put some more in your medium-term account. Maybe put it towards, you know, getting your next car or whatever it is. But we also think that you need to sort of have rules in place so that, you know, in your mind, before you go off spending money, you've got, say, a rule that says, well, if you're going to spend over a certain amount, you should really think about it for a week first, or something like that.
Yeah, just I guess being considerate with your money and really analysing what you're spending it on. Because of course it's nice to have fun and you've got money, you can spend it, but you want to be as responsible as you can so you're secure.
Yeah, that's right. You know, security means a lot to people, and especially these days after we've had so much with COVID going on and there continues to be lockdowns and, you know, changes to people's work schedules, there really is a need to keep money for unexpected expenses.
Is it important to have goals when you're coming into a sassy mindset for your finances?
Absolutely. You need to have goals to keep you motivated. Otherwise, it's easy to just drop off and not worry. But if you know that you're saving for a particular reason, or that you've got some goal that it reaches this amount or that amount, or you can, you know, treat yourself when it gets to this, it's much easier to stick to. And to just visualise whatever it is that you're saving for makes it easier. So although now it's hard to sort of, you know, book for a holiday and plan that, to sort of have something in the future to look forward to is still a good goal.
And you did say a yearly review. How do we go about that to, I guess, best look back on the year that was and our finances?
Well, you look at, did you meet the goals that you had? And, you know, look at, what were you most proud of that you achieved financially? And, you know, what's working for you? What's too hard? You know, if it works out that it's really too hard to live on your 50% of your income, figure out how you can do it better. And you know, think about, it's not just about saving what you have, but thinking about how else you can increase your income so that you do have more to play with. So, you know, looking at any opportunities that you have to improve your situation, it's always a good thing to do, maybe once a year. And maybe it's, you know, that you feel like you've achieved everything and you want to work less, or your goals have changed because you've got a family or you've got married or whatever it is.
No worries. Well, Julia, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Julia Newbold, Managing Editor with Money Magazine on your Classic It's Breakfast.